Hello, everyone. Today on The Travel Guys.
Start spreading the news. The Travel Guys are live from the New York Times Travel Show in the Big Apple.
Mark has a variety of some interesting people to tell you about unique travel products and travel destinations as well.
Plus, there's the travel news and even a few minutes with a travel legend, Arthur Frommer.
All that coming up next, live from Sacramento
and New York.
Today on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Guys. It's raining hard here in the River City. I'm Tom Romano, and we have Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. By the way, Travel Guys brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark is, well, in New York City, and when I talked to him last, it was snowing. Mark, hello from the Big Apple.
Hey there. There are, as the sun is setting here in the Big Apple, we are starting to see some stray snowflakes, actually more than a few stray snowflakes, which may be why the return to Sacramento on Monday is now the return to Sacramento on Tuesday. There is the rain that hit Sacramento last week has finally made it to the East Coast, Thomas.
Well, there you go. That's kind of how it works. And the way it looks right now, we're going to have some more to send your way before you know it. A lot of things going on in New York City. Of course, as we told folks, you are at the New York Times Travel Show. And by the way, folks, go to travelguysradio.com. There you will find links and pictures of all of the great stuff and interviews that we're going to have today on the show. Tell me what you've seen and what you've done so far, Mark.
Well, it's, of course, we bring groups here a couple times a year. Sports Leisure Vacations does to, for sightseeing and theater trips in New York. This spring we have a group coming, a trip that is already sold out, so I won't bother to tell folks about it. But one of the things that the folks are going to see is a brand new show here in New York that, producer Chris Galloway and I had a chance to see last night called The Bridges of Madison County. Some folks will remember the, Tom, you may remember the movie. Perhaps you saw it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so this is the stage version, and it's a definite two or three hanky show. It's like the movie. It has its tear jerking moments. I thought it translated very well to the stage. I'm very pleased that we made it one of our selections for this year. Also had an opportunity to see Pippin the night before, which is a show that is headed for San Francisco as part of their 2014-2015 season this fall. And that's a really interesting show. If folks who saw Pippin in its first time around a couple of decades ago will probably not recognize this show. It has been seriously updated and modernized, and let's just say this, it wouldn't be for somebody who is real conservative in their thought processes, I would say. You need to be a little more open-minded, because it's a little bit more risque than the Pippin that your mother took you to see.
Really? Okay. All right. Not to be confused with the Disney's Mary Poppins, then.
No, it's not Mary Poppins, but it's not Book of Mormon either, but it's it falls somewhere in between. Pippin is a story of a young man going out in search of some of life's answers, and this version is a little different from the other one. But nonetheless, Broadway is alive and well here in New York. The New York Times Travel Show, Tom, is the biggest one in the country, and it is not only the biggest one in terms of attendance. Get this, it's a $17 ticket just to get in the door if you're the public. So,
yeah.
But there's entertainment, there's food, there are seminars, and if you're a travel aficionado, why then you're truly in your element here at the New York Times Travel Show, because in the Javits Center they have one whole end of the convention center on two floors and several different venues. So there's something here for everyone.
Well, I'll tell you what, our listeners are in for a real treat today, because we're going to take you down the halls and from booth to booth at the New York Times Travel Show for free, right here on the Travel Guys. Great interviews that Mark has lined up, and we're going to be getting to those right after the break at a quarter after. But right now, though, firing up the band.
Here we go.
means it's time for Mark to bring us the travel news. Mark, what do you got for us today?
All right. A quick rundown here. In the hotel points category, we have good news and bad news. Club Carlson has, for the second time in a year, seriously devalued their points. That would be Country Inn and Suites and Radisson Hotels mostly. If you're an elite there, you're not going to be earning as many bonus points. They've introduced a new category at the top, and more of hotels have gone up in price point-wise than have gone down. So Club Carlson has kind of fallen to the bottom of the frequent traveler list. Good news, though, for those of you who are Starwood points collectors, folks
who patronize
Sheraton. Yeah, that's you, Mr. Romano. Please note, Sheraton has announced that Starwood's announced, please note, we're not adding any new categories or changing category pricing. They have some hotels moving up and some hotels moving down. A fairly equal number if you look at it on a worldwide basis. So congratulations to Starwood for not rocking the boat, or at least not devaluing their points as much as everybody else. Weather is getting into folks' flight plans again, even for those of you who are on the West Coast. If you are planning to go east on Monday, I would advise you that over 1,500 flights have already been canceled as of 4 p.m. Eastern time this afternoon, and some more cancellations are expected, especially if you are flying into the Washington, Philadelphia, New York corridor tomorrow. You might want to check your flights before you leave home, because it's entirely possible your first flight might be going, but your connecting flight might not. Some more air travel news here. Delta Airlines kind of shook up the frequent flyer world this week by announcing that they are going to recalculate the way that frequent flyer miles are earned. Basically, from now on, if you buy an expensive ticket, you're going to earn generally more miles than somebody who buys a cheap ticket. Delta has said that the formula for earning elite status will remain unchanged.
Now, Mark, with that being said, for those that are just, gathering miles and buying X number of tickets per year, they're trying to amass enough to get, one extra flight per year to go see a family member or whatever. How does this impact them in any way?
Well, it means for those people who are bottom feeders, who are always looking for the very cheapest fare, they're going to earn fewer points. It's most people. If you're a Delta flyer, it would behoove you at this point to get a Delta credit card, because if you charge more than an airline ticket or two a year, part of their formula now is that you'll get more miles when you use their credit card. Of course, that is pretty much the case with any airline now. And I would say this is probably only the first step. Delta, most likely, I'm a little confused why they wouldn't have done this all at once, but my guess is that the way that your elite status is earned is also going to change, because it makes sense. If the people who are paying the most for the tickets are getting the most miles, then they should be the people also who are paying the most for tickets should be the people who are sitting up front most of the time. Would seem to make sense to me.
Well, I think,
but like you, I'm kind of a bottom feeder, so I'm not too happy with all of this, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, we're going to have to come up with another name. How about smart travelers? Frugal bottom feeder.
Frugal.
Just I don't know. That makes me feel like a carp.
All right, there you go. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to get off down the aisles of the travel show here. I'll talk to you in a couple of minutes.
All right, folks, and remember, go to travelguysradio.com right now. You can listen and goof with your computer at the same time, and check out the links and all that's coming up next here on another edition of the Travel Guys. Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman with Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. Mark is in New York at the New York Times Travel Fair, heading down the aisles to get some special interviews. Look, if you travel overseas, one of the things that you want to do, of course, is to be safe. So with that being said, Mark's next guest is from the State Department and has some information on just that, being safe while traveling abroad. Mark?
Tom, we're here with Brenda Sprague. Brenda is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Passport Services. She's part of Consular Affairs, is that right, which is underneath the State Department? Boy, I'm going to get an A in government organization for today. Brenda, one of the things that we tell our listeners here on the Travel Guys is about the STEP program, the importance of it, what it's about. Can you explain for folks who are traveling overseas why the STEP, S-T-E-P program might be important to them?
There are a lot of good reasons to enroll in STEP. First of all, it's free. Second of all, it serves two purposes. The first purpose it serves is that it lets us know where you are going. And if something happens back home and your family needs to get in touch with you and they're intimidated, our embassies and consulates can reach out and help you. If you get in trouble when you're overseas, we know how to reach out and talk to your family and get you the support you need.
Now that's especially important because as we were talking here about examples of things that have just happened in the last few years, but just in the last few weeks, what has happened in the Ukraine. So what if you were on a tour and you found yourself in Ukraine, which wouldn't be that unusual. Lots of folks are taking advantage of tourism opportunities in Eastern European countries. So that would be another example of why you would want to be registered under the STEP program.
Yes, absolutely. For example, if you registered with us, you would get an alert on your cell phone that said, stay away from this location, stay away from that location. Make sure you always have your travel documents with you so you can identify yourself as a U.S. citizen. And just give you good advice to make sure that your trip does not become a nightmare. And this is true. All kinds of emergencies can come up while you're overseas.
And registering for the STEP program is very easy.
It is. You can do it online. I watched my son do it, and he did it in about 90 seconds. But he is under the age of 30, and we all know that young people do this a lot faster than the rest of us. But we just upgraded our website, and we worked particularly hard to make the STEP, which is right on the landing page, very easy, very accessible. And I trust you, even people as old as I am can figure it out.
Talking with Brenda Sprague on the Travel Guys from the New York Times Travel Show. Brenda is talking about the STEP program, a way that you can register your travels overseas so that your government will know where you are. So if something really weird or strange happens, either here or there, that you can be updated. And the idea of being able to get alerts while you're traveling is really a great thing. Brenda, you also had another thing. Your department handles passports, and you had a very important piece of information for folks who are considering an international tour that they really need to be aware of.
You really need to be aware of how much validity is left on your passport. Today, most countries require that it has 6 months of validity before they will admit you, and that means before they will let you get on the airplane. So you don't want to get out there with all your bags packed and discovered that you are not going to be seeing Paris this year. It is easy enough to get a new passport. Most of these times it's a renewal. You can mail it off. We'll get it back to you in about 4 weeks, but you have to think about that long before you buy that ticket.
Brenda, thank you so much for your time today. Tom, we're moving down the aisle at the New York Times Travel Show.
And you be sure to move over to your computer there. Go to travelguysradio.com and check out the link to that interview that we just heard. You know, a lot of folks have taken cruises on big ships. Some of them are almost like floating cities. But have you ever cruised on a small ship? Mark goes down the aisle and captures this interview.
Tom, I'm here with Paula Camera. She is the marketing manager for Blount Small Ship Adventures, which is something really interesting. Small ship cruising has become very popular in Europe. It's had some reasonable interest in the United States. This is a small company. I've never heard of your company before. Paula, you tell me you have two ships and that you do a lot of different destinations. Tell us.
We sail the U.S., Canada, Central America, and the Caribbean. We travel up the Hudson from New York to Montreal. We are the only overnight cruise line that can transit the entire Erie Canal. We have a retractable pilot house.
And why is that you're the only one that can?
Because we have a retractable pilot house that actually comes down into the structure of the ship, and we can get under the low bridges and the locks on the Erie Canal.
And yours, 88 passengers, is that what you said?
88 passengers, yep. Two sister ships.
It sounds like a very wonderful experience. And before we started the interview, I said casual, and you said?
Absolutely. What you wear during the day is what you wear at night. No shirts and ties, no formal wear at all.
Now, this is not a new company. This company's been around for 48 years.
48 years. Our owner was Luther Blount. He was our founder, and he was an inventor and somewhat of a Renaissance man. He created many different inventions, and he also, on these ships, created the retractable pilot house and also a bow landing where the front of the ship comes down and it can bow land on isolated beaches and small little cays in the Caribbean.
If I'm on one of your cruises, who will be on with me? Where do the people come from?
Our demographics are usually 60 plus, but we do have younger travelers, especially in the Caribbean, in Central America, and they are from all over the U.S. We have passengers from Australia, Britain, And they are usually well-read, very educated, looking for something a little bit different than regular, you know, cruising.
Tom, we're always talking about how cruise ships are nickeling and diming people to death. And Paula was telling me before we started the interview that one of their policies on board is a BYOB policy. Instead of them taking away your liquor when you come on board, you're welcome to bring it on board with you.
Right. We encourage it, actually. And we do supply all the setups and mixes every night. So all you really do need is the bottle. You don't need anything else.
How wonderful. What's your most popular itinerary, Paula?
Well, we have some signature cruises, which we just have. Well, we termed them signature cruises in 2014 because they are the ones that can do the Erie Canal and the bow landings. And they are very popular, New York to Montreal. And we also sail the Mississippi. We have a 2014, we have a cruise that does New Orleans to Chicago.
And you mentioned Central America.
Central America, Belize, Guatemala, Honduras. We go up the Rio Dulce, so that's another option where we're the only company that can actually go up the entire Rio Dulce.
And for folks who aren't familiar with traveling in Central America, strikes me that having your own floating hotel might be a wonderful way to go.
It is, absolutely, yep.
Paula, thank you so much for your time. Paula Camara from Blount Small Ship Adventures, headquartered in Rhode Island and here at the New York Times Travel Show. Thank you so much.
And if you want to find out more about that small ship, simply go to TravelGuysRadio.com and click on the link. You know, one of my favorite things when I vacation is well, besides seeing and doing things, is eating. I mean, it's all about not cooking and dining at really cool restaurants. Can you imagine taking a vacation that was nothing but dining? Check this out, Mark.
Tom, my next guest is David Loy. David is with Epicurian, is the name of his company. Not Epicurian, but Epicurian. It's a very unique twist on culinary tourism, not only here on the East Coast, but also overseas. Davis, tell me a little bit about what you do. You're headquartered in Colorado. You've been doing this for 8 years. Tell me about Epicurian.
Well, Epicurian is a culinary getaway company specializing in culinary tourism all over the world. We have many domestic culinary tours, which we consider getaways. Those getaways are 2 or 3 night excursions. Might be to New Orleans, might be to Napa Valley, might be to New York City. But again, we have them all over the country.
And so, and what would those 2 or 3 day packages include? Would they include accommodations and culinary experiences?
Yeah, a culinary getaway normally includes about 4 things. You've got your lodging. You've got experiential dining, which is usually a chef's table dinner or a chef's tasting menu at one of a premier dining establishment. It includes a foodie tour. So you're going around the village or you're going around the area learning some of the local culture and some of the local foods that are produced there. Hands-on cooking classes are a must. So those usually last about, 2 to 3 hours with a sit-down dinner at the end of them. There's usually a wine tour.
How many people are usually a part of these experiences?
Sometimes as few as one. We are kind of unique in that aspect because we can actually create a culinary getaway for just one person or 2 people. We design the package around the customer's dates of travel. We get a lot of people that come in to us and say, we're celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary or my wife's turning 50 and we want to celebrate in this way. And we customize that package around that special milestone event.
So this could be for, as you said, for a couple of people, could be like a family reunion, could be a group of folks who are celebrating something special, or it could even be something like a tour operator who has put together a group of people.
Exactly. We'll do large groups. We do team building. We do incentives. But usually our group business is international. So we'll do over 3,000 packages a year.
What's your most popular destination?
Italy. That's what I was referring to. Italy is kind of synonymous with cooking vacations, has been for many years, and we do a lot of Italy vacations. But we also have France, we have South America, we have Thailand. I mean, just virtually anywhere.
You mentioned New Orleans and New York City. Tell me a little bit about a popular package here stateside.
Well, I would say that Napa Valley is probably your number one destination, but we also do a lot of business in Santa Fe. People go to Santa Fe to learn how to do Southwestern cooking. When they go to New Orleans, of course, it's Cajun and Creole. We have a lot of people going and doing Charleston.
Another great culinary destination in the States. David Loy with Epiturian from Castle Pines, Colorado, here at the New York Times Travel Show. David, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, we are the Travel Guys, and again, links to all of our guests available at travelguysradio.com. We'll join Mark on the floor of the New York Times Travel Show right after the news. You're listening to the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK. Hello, everyone. I'm Tom Romano with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a special edition of the Travel Guys live from the New York Times Travel Show, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Look, you know, there are very popular exotic destinations besides Hawaii. And let's join Mark out on the floor of the New York Times Travel Show with another such place.
Tom, I'm here with Jeff Crochet. Jeff is the communications manager for Tahiti Tourism in Los Angeles, and we're here at the New York Times Travel Show. Jeff, for folks from Central Valley of California who have never been to Tahiti and have always dreamed of it, what will they find when they get there?
Well, first, it's actually easier to get there than most people think. It's just 8 hours from Los Angeles. So you have to get to LA first, and they have many code share agreements, especially with American Airlines, and I believe Sacramento or San Francisco or the Bay Area. So it's just 8 hours from Los Angeles, and when you get there, you'll see the beautiful, lush, magical peaks, the different shades of blue in the lagoons. It's hot and sunny and tropical weather, and the beautiful resorts most of them have overwater bungalows, which you don't really see in other parts of the world, but yeah.
Now, one of the things, before we started the interview, I mentioned that on my only trip to Tahiti, that one of the things that really kind of struck me was the stars at night. The skies are a lot clearer. There's a lot less interference there. So not only is it beautiful during the day, but it's also beautiful at night.
Yeah, Tahiti, we don't get as much light pollution as like the larger cities do, like in L.A. or San Francisco. So allows us to have such a beautiful night sky.
Tahiti is actually one of a series of islands that make up French Polynesia. So most folks, when they come there, they come to Tahiti, and then they visit perhaps one or more islands. What are some of the ways that folks could enjoy French Polynesia besides just visiting Tahiti? How would they get around?
Well, first, there's actually 118 islands in total. Most people don't know that, Tahiti being the main island. And then most people go to Moorea and Bora Bora, but there are other islands beyond Tahiti and Moorea and Bora Bora. We have our hidden paradise islands like Huahine. That's a beautiful, untouched, unspoiled island. Raiatea and Taha. Taha is the vanilla island. 80% of vanilla produced in Tahiti is produced on the island of Taha. And then we have the Tuamotu atolls like Rangiroa. Those are just atolls. It's a bunch of flat little islets with a gorgeous lagoon interior.
Now, what kind of accommodations will folks find in Tahiti?
So we have land resorts, like beautiful, gorgeous overwater bungalows and beach bungalows and garden bungalows. And then we also have cruising. Cruising is pretty big in Tahiti, the Pogolgon cruise.
Now, you mentioned to me also that Windstar Cruises, which is how I saw Tahiti originally almost a quarter of a century ago, are coming back to Tahiti this summer. An excellent way to see the islands, perhaps.
Yeah, it's actually coming back this summer. It's been a long time since they've been back. And it's a great way to see multiple islands as opposed to just doing three or two islands. You can see maybe 5 to 7 islands. And that's a great itinerary and a great way to see the islands. But
Jeff, you spent part of your childhood in Tahiti. You now live in Southern California. If you were telling somebody who had never been to Tahiti before, give me one comment or one reason or one thing that would make me want to go there.
I truly believe it's one of the most beautiful destinations in the world. The Tahitian people are very friendly and very hospitable. It's one of the safest countries, the most friendliest countries. And once you're there, you really can disconnect yourself from your everyday life. I mean, you don't need to turn on the internet. You don't need to have your cell phone on. It's just a great way to relax, kick back, put on your swimsuits on and go paddleboarding or kayaking in the beautiful lagoon. And then, you know, there's great food and great dancing. And I mean, it's a great way of life down there.
I can recall sitting on the edge of the water on one of the islands, and while little tiny flying fish darted all about, and really, truly one of the most amazing experiences, only 3 hours further than Hawaii. Jeff, thank you very much for your time. We'll see you in Tahiti.
One of the things you're going to want to do right now, if you haven't already, is go to TravelGuysRadio.com and check out the link to Mark's next guest. We've talked about destinations. Now we're going to talk about accessories and things that can, well, in a lot of ways, improve your vacation. Mark, what do you got?
Tom, just down the aisle, I find Scotty Vest, which is absolutely the most innovative, unique product that I have found here at this show. And Chris Galloway, my producer, tells me that Holloway Travel, our good buddy John Holloway at Holloway Travel Outfitters, has this product. Tom O'Leary is here with me to tell me about, this is really, Tom, this is the coolest thing. I mean, immediately Chris and I stopped because we're both road warriors. Tell us about this interesting product you have.
Scotty Vest is a line of clothing, and what we're showing here is our travel vest. It has 24 pockets. Most of them are on the inside, and they're designed to carry electronics. Everyone's been traveling with gadgets. Everyone who travels has all the stuff they want to carry and keep with them. This allows you to carry it with you in a pickpocket-proof way. We actually have a $1,000 pickpocket-proof guarantee, and no one has ever had to call us on it yet, which is pretty awesome. We also have a patent on the wiring of electronics.
Tom, you need to know that this Tom Romano, who is my partner back at the station, Tom O'Leary, who's here with me, has all of these pockets. He's got an iPad inside a pocket of this vest, and you would not know that he had. Would you, Chris?
Couldn't tell it at all.
You can't tell that he's got. This doesn't look like a bulging thing. This looks like something you could wear down the street.
I'm even carrying a battery pack. This battery pack looks like a brick. But when you drop it in the pocket, I have it wired through the lining, so I'm not getting tangled in wires, and I have it charging my phone in a completely separate pocket. I could actually have a battery on one side, run it all the way through the back, and charge my phone on the other. It's awesome for travel. It's awesome for just travel to your office, back to home. Tons of pockets. Can't go wrong.
It's literally your carry-on bag. In a vest, you have other products, too.
We do. We have a full line of jackets. We have shirts. The shirt I'm wearing is also one of ours. It has three little hidden pockets, and you can run wires through it. We even do a baseball cap. We do boxer shorts with two pockets in them. Yes. You look speechless for a second. We do. I'm not going to demonstrate right here. But just trust me, we do. And it's all really cool stuff. We're very tech-savvy. We're very much into carrying gadgets with you. Very much into travel and having things organized. And as you can see here, we've got little icons that give you a clue as to, you know, what you have in your pockets. And we even have on the hang tags, we provide a pocket map so that you don't get lost.
Goodness gracious. Tom O'Leary from Scotty Vest. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, we will have a link to where you can learn more about their products, and also a reminder that, as Chris has told me, that their products are available in Sacramento at Holloway Travel Outfitters. More from the New York Times Travel Show in just a moment.
Mark, I tell you, you're going to need a map just to be able to figure out where everything is that you put in those 42 pockets. Let's see, pocket number 23's got my cell phone, my car keys.
That's what Chris and I were talking about, Tom, is that you put something in your carry-on bag, and then you remember you put it there, but you can't remember exactly where you put it, and you're rummaging through everything. So now you would just look like you were sort of pickpocketing yourself. But it's a really cool, cool thing, and people were buying them on Friday during the day when just travel agents and press folks were in the show. They were literally flying off the rack. So it's a pretty cool thing. You can put all kinds of stuff in your pockets and not know. This man literally slipped an iPad all the way in, and you couldn't tell that he had it on him at all.
Well, you know, for those that are attending the show, like you and Chris, this guy had to do quite well just selling it to all of those travelers like yourselves.
Well, that was what told me immediately when we walked by and we could see the people all, kind of clustered around and stuff. And we had to wait for several minutes just to be able to interview the gentleman because he was too busy selling products. Hey, speaking of interviews, Thomas, we still have one to go here on the program. And that is, we have saved our time with the, with the legendary Arthur Frommer and his daughter Pauline, who attend the show every year. We have saved that interview for the last, and plus we've got some other live shows to tell you about, and also a winner from the Sports Leisure Travel Club coming up after the break.
All that right here, as usual, every Sunday at 3 o'clock on KFBK. It's the Travel Guys. Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK at 1530 and our new FM home, 93.1. Special edition of the Travel Guys, live from the New York Times Travel Show, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark is there, and Mark had an opportunity to sit down with, well, probably one of his favorite people, or two people, should I say, Arthur Frommer and his daughter Pauline. If you've ever... you know, had yourself a travel guide of any kind, if you've ever looked for a book or books that tell you what to do, where to go, and how to travel, well, the Frommers are world famous. So with that being said, let's pick up with this interview I know you're going to enjoy. Mark?
Arthur, it's not too many people who start on a second career well into their 80s. Congratulations on reacquiring the rights to your own name.
The 80s are now the new 60s, I keep saying.
Well, it feels that way. When I listen to you talk on the stage, you do not talk like a traveler who's in his 80s. You talk like a man who's in his 30s or 40s.
Well, I think it's travel that keeps me young. I enjoy what I'm doing.
You're in your early 80s.
Thank you, Pauline. Thank you.
Well, I hear you talking about Airbnb, and you talk about these things like a seasoned traveler, not like somebody who stumbled onto some of these things recently.
Well, we do what we advocate. We don't just talk about this in a vacuum. We've heard so much about Airbnb that I recently determined that we would use Airbnb for our own accommodations. And Pauline and I went to Portland, Oregon. We went to Seattle, Washington. And in both cities, we used the services of this apartment-finding organization, Airbnb, and we lived in an apartment of a two-family house in each case. And it was a wonderful stay. We also we spent a third of what we would have spent for a hotel, and yet we were in an apartment with a spacious kitchen, with a dining room, with a living room. The owners of the hotel, of the apartment, rather, had stocked the refrigerator with coffee, with sweeteners. They had left books for us to read. They had left a series of motion picture DVDs that we would use. We had a far more comfortable stay at a half for the price that we would have spent paid to a hotel.
Pauline, you mentioned that recently you were in Sacramento, and it sounded like you did a similar sort of thing.
I did an Airbnb in Sacramento. I paid $40 a night. I showed up in a taxi, which I think surprised my host, because it wasn't in downtown Sacramento. And I didn't realize that I'd need a car to get around, truly. But it was wonderful. Sacramento is an underappreciated city. I had so much fun running around, seeing the sights, and appearing on many different shows. You've got a lot of culture, and I was at a great bookstore in Sacramento.
Pauline, what would you tell folks who have never done the Airbnb, have never taken that step, you know, renting a home, a room in someone else's home? How would you calm any fears that they might have towards making that the leap to a first timer in that sort of an arrangement?
Well, there are safety provisions in place. First of all, every host and every guest gets reviewed, because the host can turn you down if you have bad reviews as a guest. So you kind of know what you're getting into. Plus, the money you pay isn't released to the host until after your stay is over. So you have the time to complain to Airbnb, and they have major incentive to treat you very well because they haven't gotten their money yet.
Arthur, as we mentioned before, for the first time in many years, the Frommer Travel Guides now, which bear your name, are now published by you. You now have a say, and you spoke with pride from the stage earlier today that perhaps the content may be just a little different than folks have seen in recent years.
Well, I have been very much involved in the publication of the Frommer Travel Guides for all these years, but finally we own them outright. We make the final decision.
So you don't have to ask someone else's permission when to put in your own guide.
No, I don't. And we immediately jumped to the phones and we called our very best writers, experienced journalists, who actually live in the city or the country that they're writing about, and who loved the idea of being hired once again to write good guidebooks for us. We emphasized to them that they should not be encyclopedic in their coverage. They should be selective. They should not recommend 120 hotels in London. They should recommend 30 of them, 10 expensive, 10 moderate, 10 cheap. The hotels that they found offered the best value and were the most appropriate to book. And we're so excited that we have now reissued the first 30 titles, 30 new titles in the Frommer series. We will be issuing another five or so within the next couple of weeks. We will then be bringing the total number of titles up to 60, up to 70 titles by the end of this year.
Yeah.
Wow. And we're quite excited about it.
Pauline, before I let you go, you're about to take the stage here again in a few moments and talk to folks about top destinations for this year. How about a little preview for our Travel Guys listeners who won't be here to hear the seminar?
Well, it's kind of a varied presentation. It's about places you might not have considered going, like Taiwan. I talk about the real interest in Taiwan. Places that take the place of other destinations that have become a little too dangerous to visit. So I talk about the wonders of Morocco for everybody who is nervous about going to Egypt nowadays. And I also talk about a different way of seeing a classic destination, namely Alaska. Everybody sees it by cruise. You can have an amazing time in South Central Alaska, which is where the Alaskans themselves travel. It's called the Kenai Peninsula and the Prince William Sound. You do everything the cruisers do and more, and you see a more varied array of sights.
They're the control of their own books, and it's just, you can tell he's a man rejuvenated. He's got a new mission now, and the books have always had his name on them. You know, he started writing those books in the middle 50s when he was a GI overseas. So quite a career there. We got some housekeeping we need to do here. Tom, how much time do we have left?
We've got
about a minute and a half or so.
Yeah, at least about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes.
All right. We've got we need to award, first of all, each week we award a Sports Leisure Traveler a $50 gift card, someone who has been on a trip in the last couple weeks. And if they're listening to the radio and call our office once they hear their name on Monday or Tuesday, while we double it to $100, this week's winner is Virginia Guido, G-U-I-D-O. Virginia Guido, if you are listening. Yeah, exactly. Even Sports Leisure has its own Guidos. So if Virginia is listening, why, she has won. I have to tell you, Tom, quickly, our winner last week was a gentleman named George Cunningham, who came bounding into our office on Monday afternoon with the biggest smile on his face.
Oh, that's what I like to hear.
To claim his prize, and told us that not only was he listening, but he had friends who were listening and called him and told him they had heard his name on the radio. So kind of fun. Listen, we have some live shows of the Travel Guys coming up for you in the next few weeks here. At the end of the month, we're going to New Orleans for the Road Food Festival. There's a beignet eating contest and all kinds of other fun things that are part of the Road Food Festival in New Orleans. The first of next month, we are going to be broadcasting the Travel Guys live from the Royal Lahaina Hotel on the island of Maui, Hawaii. And later in the month, we're going to a Frequent Flyer University in Seattle, where they are going to be awarding the annual Freddie, the Frequent Flyer Award. So that's all coming up next week on the Travel Guys. We will dig into our mailbag. I was telling you, Tom, before the show today that we have a bunch of questions from listeners. So we'll be answering those. If you have a question, go to travelguysradio.com and fill out the little form there. It's real easy. Send it to us. And if we answer your question on the air, you might win a prize. And also next week will be the first giveaways for listeners to join us on our trip on the Magic Bus in May.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Folks will be want to be listening for that, your opportunity to meet the Travel Guys in person.
Boy, woohoo! I'm really excited about
that. No, I already know the Travel Guys, so it's not as big of a deal to me. Well, ask the people in the studio there, our team, if they would be excited about it. Never mind.
I do have a question for you, Mark, and
yes,
it was
sir.
Ever since I first heard the Frommers mention Airbnb. Now, that sounds just absolutely fascinating to me. And what do you know about these people, and why the name Airbnb?
Well, originally it was for folks, you were flying someplace and you needed a bed and breakfast, and you didn't want to stay in a hotel and pay hotel prices. You wanted something a little bit more personable, so you can rent people's homes. This is not a room in their home per se, but rent a home or rent a room in a home. There's a number of different services. We'll have to get a couple of those folks on the air with us to talk about it. You know, another thing that struck me, Tom, at the end of the interview, I realized that when Pauline and Arthur left, that she mentioned she was in a great bookstore in Sacramento, but she never told me the name of the bookstore.
Well, I don't know. There are a lot of good bookstores in Sacramento, but I guess it probably was downtown. Look, we're pretty much out of time, Mark. You have a very, very safe trip back to California. I want to thank all of our guests, and thank you and Chris for bringing us such a fabulous show from New York. We are the Travel Guys, and we'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock right here at KFBK.
My love is making music with my friend.